Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. We now come to the conclusion of our study on the two books, the two wonderful books on 1 and 2 Thessalonians. A very young church, but a church fraught with certain problems pertaining in particular to the last days. How should we react and respond to the last days? The conclusion of this epistle, the Apostle Paul bid them, wish them, the Lord's peace be always given to them. Why is peace so important? The world longs for peace. The world cannot enjoy peace. There seems to be a war in any part of the world throughout man's existence. Why is it that we fight and kill each other so much? Now, with modern technology, it is worse than before because news travels so fast by the click of a mouse that what happened in one part of the world is known throughout the entire world. In the past, when technology was so old-fashioned that if one part of the world has a calamity, it takes weeks, if not months, before it arrives to another country that is on the other side of our planet Earth. But today it is different, isn't it? What is happening now in Syria, the whole world is waiting with bated breath. Will the America attack? Will the other superpowers do what they say, backing Syria, mainly Russia and China? And if war comes upon Syria, will it be like another Iraq? The stocks and shares are affected, the oil prices are affected, and therefore all of us are affected. So there doesn't seem to be any peace in the Middle East. They have been striving for peace for a long, long time. But what they have only achieved is known as truce rather than peace, isn't it? Because in peace, there is reconciliation. You no longer see one another as enemies. You see each other as friends, as brothers, as sisters. But when you lay down your arms and you do not shoot at one another, but animosity still remains, that is truce. And during truce, what people usually do is to rearm themselves with new, latest weapons of war. And then perhaps later on in the near future, we will fight again. That is what the world sees peace as. Period of truce. But that is not how the Bible describes peace. That is not the kind of peace that the Apostle Paul wished on the Christians in Thessalonica, and the kind of peace that he would like all of us to have in every church, not just only the church in Thessalonica. Now remember, the church is not the building. It's the people inside the building. The gathering that we have together in Christ Jesus. And so he concludes this wonderful epistle by wishing them, "The Lord of peace himself give you peace, always, by all means." He did not say the angel of the Lord. He says the Lord of peace himself. He asked God himself. And out of all the many attributes of God, he singled out one particular attribute, and that is peace. Now he just wrote to them that before the Lord returns, this world is going to turn into the domain of the man of sin, whom he also called the son of perdition. And the characteristic of this son of perdition is a person who will oppose and exalt himself all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so this world will be turned over to him, whereby this man of sin, the son of perdition, which the Bible calls in John the Antichrist, and in Revelation he is known as the beast. And he is going to rule and dominate this planet Earth, where Christians will remain, where the work of God has been continuing on all these centuries. How to have peace after you have given us this prophecy, isn't it? That this world will not going to get better, it's going to get worse and worse, and it will culminate in the rule of the Antichrist, who will sit on earth calling himself God Almighty, deceiving the whole world. And the punishment upon this terrible, terrible beast is so severe that at the end of his existence on this earth, when the Lord Jesus Christ finally returns in a cloud of glory, in power, bearing the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he, together with the false prophet who will assist him, will be cast into the lake of fire in this mortal body. Never before did the Bible ever reveal that any sinner, no matter how heinous their sin was on the earth, would he ever be cast into the lake of fire in this mortal flesh, except these two human beings, the Antichrist, the son of perdition and the man of sin, and the false prophet. Both of them will be cast into the lake of fire in this mortal flesh, as if God is telling us that the punishment that they will endure for eternity for what they will do on this earth will be so grotesque and so serious and so severe in the eyes of God. And you and I know that God never over-punishes anyone. And God's judgment is always fair and meet and just, suitable exactly according to the sin committed. And for God to send them both into the lake of fire in this mortal flesh, that says a whole lot about what they will do to this earth of ours. And yet in the midst of such prophecies, the Apostle Paul wished the Christians in Thessalonica, may God himself give you peace. We need this peace. One of the best ways to understand this peace that is in our hearts is the sovereignty of God. That's why he used the Lord himself, the Lord of peace. The source of all our peace is in the hand of our Heavenly Father. You must know and understand the sovereignty of God very, very well. And you can't if you don't study God's Word. The sovereignty of God does not mean that he is in control of your life. That is not the biblical definition of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means this. He is in control of your life and the lives of every individual on this earth, whether they acknowledge him or not, whether they acknowledge him or not, it does not matter. God will use them, and whatever they do, even they are the greatest enemy of God, including this man of sin. He can't do a single thing without the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father's permission. That's the sovereignty of God. You must understand the sovereignty of God as revealed to us in Holy Scriptures. Why do you think God kept on telling us, I am the God of the Hebrews who is also the God of the whole earth? That was the message that Moses imparted to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a despot. He was a dictator. He was a very powerful ruler in Egypt at the time. And yet, God had to humble him and reduce him to absolutely nothing, without much effort from God's part. Pharaoh had to beg for mercy. His arrogance was completely reduced to nothing. Likewise, Nebuchadnezzar made him behave and live like a beast, look like a beast, smell like a beast, for 7 long years, until he humbled himself and then finally admit there is only one God, the God of the heaven and the earth. Please understand the Lord of peace. He is our Heavenly Father and he is all-powerful. You trust him. The only time when God himself will deal with us is when we are in sin. That is why he talked about how we need to practice biblical separation. How we need to help each other deal with sin. Because the only time peace is taken away from us is when we remain in sin. We do not want to get rid of our sin. We continue to walk in a way that is against the revealed Word of God, against Holy Scriptures. That is why we do not have peace. And that's why we are so easily perturbed and disturbed And sometimes you can't even sleep at night because the Bible promises, I give to my beloved sleep. Are you not his beloved as a child of God? Then why are you not sleeping well at night? Why are you bothered by the affairs of the world? Because peace is not the absence of war or difficulties in our lives. That even in the midst of the greatest, most terrible difficulties that you could ever imagine in your life, God says, the peace that the world cannot give, neither can the world understand, will be yours. I have given it to you. And this peace is inside. It's the knowledge that my Heavenly Father is in absolute control. It's the knowledge that I know God as my Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. And this relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father, no man can take away from me. Not even Satan, not even death. So what do you have to be afraid of? You have nothing to be afraid of. Even when this world one day will become owned by the evil one, and you know it will. That is why it is so needful and important that we as God's children do not live as if this world is our home. Young people who are leaving us this morning, you have come up to the front, and two others who are not with us, bear in mind that you are not going there just to study for study's sake. You are going there to experience the grace and the mercies of God in your life. Now, in the absence of your parents, without the home, without the church as your safeguard, but only the Lord Jesus Christ to help you, guide you. You walk close to the Lord and you always pray for the fear of God in your heart so that you will not sin against Him. Because the world out there is not your friend. So many young people go out into the world thinking the world is their friend. And they play with the world. The world is not a playground. It is a battleground where your soul is at stake. Success for the Christian is not getting A's in their studies, but in their walk with the Lord, where their faith and trust in the Lord is deepened and strengthened in the process. And that's how you get peace. You think you can buy peace with money? You think you can buy peace by surrounding yourself with high walls and security guards, living in big mansions, putting yourself in a bunker somewhere, and that's how you get peace? You are kidding, right? You know that it will never, never happen. What John Bunyan said many, many years ago is so correct. If we have not quiet in our minds, outward comfort will do no more for us than a golden slipper on a gouty foot. You know what's gout? It's extremely, excruciatingly painful. You read the biography of Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon. He had gout. And the way that he described the excruciating pain he had to endure, it's frightening. If you have not quiet in your minds, outward comfort will do no more for us than a golden slipper on a gouty foot. That's very, very true, isn't it? You dress yourself up with all the externals. You think you will have peace? You know how many of these very, very rich people, multimillionaire, in the Hollywood business, young people taking drugs, getting drunk, living the so-called good life, nightlife, how many of them committed suicide at a very young age? Just recently, another one, isn't it? And this movie, what, Glee? What movie is that? Supposed to be a singer and something like that? Less than 30 years old. Fame. Well recognized. Many young people, young girls, look up to him. What has happened to his life? He took his own life. The peace only God can give. Only Christians can have, because you have peace with God. You're no longer an enemy of God. And that is why the only way that this peace can be enjoyed, if you are truly a child of God, the only way this peace can be enjoyed is to live a holy life. That is why the Bible here says, give you peace always by all means. The Lord Himself, that was the Apostle Paul's prayer. He Himself will give you peace always by all means. Salvation, that's number one. Your life and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ daily. You know that if you have disobeyed the Lord, you cannot have peace. No matter what you do, when the returnees in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah came back, initially they were supposed to rebuild firstly the temple, then the city of Jerusalem. But the enemies came and sent false letters to the king of Persia. And because of that, the rebuilding of the temple was stopped. And so they went home, they rebuilt their lives, they rebuilt their homes, they rebuilt their farms. Many years later, the temple was still in ruins. There was no temple, they only had the foundation. Do you know what was the problem? The problem was this. Israel was a spiritual nation. The people were supposed to be children of God. The people were supposed to have a relationship with God. But they never had peace. No matter how much they ate, hey guys said, you were always hungry. No matter how much you earn, there always seems to be a hole in your purse. You know why? Because there is an emptiness that can never be filled. No matter how much food you eat, no matter how fat you become, there is something missing, isn't it? As God's people, you gobble up all the physical food. But if you are a child of God and you are not close to the Lord, you are living in sin. You know there is one part of you that is more important than the physical that will continue to bug you and bother you. You know you are not right with God. So they work in the field, they got lots of money, but somehow they don't feel as if they have enough. They keep on working and working, but they still don't feel that they have enough. There is no contentment. They could not deal with their sin because they can't bring the sin offering, the burnt offering, their peace offering, the thank offering, all the offerings to God because there was no temple. Oh, they had the animals. Oh, they had the priest, but there was no place in those days. They cannot worship God in spirit and in truth only. In the Old Testament, they must worship God in spirit, in truth, and in location. And the location was the rebuilding of the temple. And as long as the temple is not built, they cannot deal with their sin. Even if they want to, where can I go to offer my sin offering? They could not keep the Passover. They could not keep the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All these could not be kept because they don't have the temple. They were so contented. Let us just simply build up our homes, build up our fields, ignore the temple. Are you a child of God? Then if we are children of God, then if you just simply go after the world and building yourself with houses and more houses, and you are not close to the Lord and you are in sin, you cannot have peace. No matter how rich you become, you still feel as if you are poor. Whereas another person who has peace of God in his heart, he doesn't even have one-tenth of what you have in your bank account. But he feels so contented, he feels so rich in his soul, he feels so thankful to the Lord, he has peace. That is why it is so needful and important for us to know that the source of peace is not found in the world. So don't push yourself in the direction. Don't push your children in the direction. Don't try to find it in the world. You can't find it there. And you can't buy it because it is the source is God, the Lord, God Himself. And it is a gift. You can't get this peace by even serving in church. You think by serving in church you can earn it? You can't. Service is constrained by the love of Christ as unprofitable servant. We serve expecting nothing from the Lord because God gave me His only begotten Son. And to give to Him my life is the least that I could do, isn't it? So how dare I even expect anything from the Lord? If He doesn't give me anything, it will still be very, very fine because He has given to me everything, His only begotten Son. And so this peace is a gift. If you think that by serving you can buy this peace, then you are wrong. This peace is a gift from God. And this gift from God is yours as long as you live a holy life, because there is a condition. Same for Israel. Israel was chosen by God where the Messiah will come. That is unconditioned. That is dependent entirely upon God's faithfulness, not man's. But the blessings of God upon Israel in every generation was dependent upon Israel's obedience to God. And when Israel was obedient to God, like in the time of King David, Israel was blessed. God was very happy. But when Solomon took over, when the divided kingdom came, God had to punish. God had to send prophets of the prophets of the prophets to rebuke the kings, the priests, and the people for their many sins. Like what Paul just did. This man thinking that because the Lord is coming again, I don't want to work. And then there were people who were so misinformed and misunderstood that this lazy person, they continued to give him food, give him money. That means to encourage him to be lazy and to sin some more. Don't give someone things when they are in sin. Don't encourage someone in sin to sin some more by helping them, by assisting them. That's why Paul says, stop. Stop. You are not helping him. He is lazy. He is in sin. You now become a partaker of his sin when you encourage him to sin some more by your so-called help. Don't argue about sincerity. Sincerity is only good when it is based upon truth. When you have the truth, then sincerity comes in. Because without sincerity, your truth is hypocrisy. But sincerity is not a replacement for truth. You cannot replace right and wrong by just simply, I'm sincere. If sincerity is good enough, then Christ doesn't have to come to die for us, isn't it? You're going to find half the world, if not more than half the world, all very sincere. They're very sincere atheists. They're very sincere agnostics. They're very sincere all kinds of people. Murderers can also be very sincere. Sincerity will not cut it with God. This peace that God says is only the Lord's. And it is a gift. And Paul says, give you peace always. Always, by all means. Every relationship, every area of your life. Let it begin from the heart. Your motive. Your motive for existence. Your motive for going to work. Your motive at home in bringing up your children. Your motive, if it is an ambition to climb the corporate ladder, my ambition is to have children who are university educated, my ambition is like the world. How can God give you peace? You are in sin. And if God were to give you peace while you're in sin, then He is derelict, isn't it? Sure, there are some people whose conscience is seared. Sure, there are some people who will commit the most heinous crime, kill people, and they can sleep very well at night. They are sick. You are children of God. You say you are a Christian. And if you are a child of God, then you are now born again. That means you are spiritually alive. And if you are spiritually alive and all you have been doing week after week, month after month, since January of this year, is only feeding the physical side of your life, and the spiritual part is left derelict, you have not been feeding yourself spiritually, how can you feel at peace? How can you have calmness of your soul, in your heart and in your mind? Because if you are born again, you cannot have calmness in your soul. That's exactly what Haggai meant when he said to the returnees. You're always hungry. No matter how much you eat, you're never full. Sure, they were full physically, but he was not referring to the physical fullness, but some part of the, you are spiritual. You all return because you have faith that this is your home, not Babylon. You return to Israel for a purpose. Don't forget the spiritual purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ has not come yet, the first coming of Christ. That's why the nation of Israel must exist. So you are not just the nation like any Gentile nation. You have a spiritual life. Because many of them who returned were probably born again. Because it was a big step of faith to leave everything in Babylon after 70 long years of captivity, where most of them were born in Babylon, have never seen the promised land before. And then now they return. They didn't even speak the Jewish language. That's why in certain portions of Ezra and Daniel, it had to be written in Aramaic so that they would read and understand, because they could not understand Hebrew. So the Aramaic has to be written for them for their blessings and benefit. Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7. Six chapters, six long chapters, all in Hebrew, or in Aramaic, I beg your pardon. For their blessing and benefit. Likewise today, we are children of God. Are you a child of God? Then there must be something in you that will cry out for spiritual food. And the spiritual food has to be the Word of God. Otherwise, you will continue not to have peace in your heart. And no matter how much you eat, how much you gain, it will still not be enough. You are never contented, never satisfied. You come back to the Lord, and the Lord of peace Himself will give you peace always, by all means, every area of your life, your family life, your working life, every part of you will be filled to the full by the peace of God, because you know that you are right with Him. You know how peaceful and how wonderful it is to know in your own heart of hearts, husband-wife relationship, I'm at peace. We are loving one another according to Holy Scriptures. Parent-child relationship, if your parents are still alive, and if you are parents, right with God. For single people as well, wait upon the Lord. If it's the Lord's will for you to be married, God will send someone. In the meantime, you walk close to Him. You study God's word. You serve Him faithfully, constrained by the love of Christ. You go to work as an ambassador of Christ, telling people about Christ. That is your only motive and goal and purpose. Love the Lord Jesus Christ and go out there and tell people about Christ before the man of sin comes and your service will be no more. You will be caught up. That is our life. And once you are in this, the peace of God by all means covering every area of your life, the Lord will be with you all. The Lord is with us all. Because I am in the will of God. What do you think Jesus tells us? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Isn't that true? That's His guarantee, that's His promise. It is easy and it is light. And so when you say that, it's so hard to be a Christian. Yeah, it is very hard to be a Christian when you have, on your own, defined Christianity based upon your own heart's desire. But when you live the life of a Christian according to the Holy Scriptures, Jesus cannot be wrong, right? He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The yoke that Jesus gives to us to walk on this earth. The burden He has given to me to carry. He promised me that it is easy and light, and He is never wrong. It's only when you and I are disobedient. We manufacture our own burden and we took upon our own yoke. Not the yoke that Christ has given to us. That's why it is heavy. So when you say that Christianity is dull, is boring, is hard, is so hard to obey, it is not. If you have a willing, obedient heart. That is why we live this life without peace. The peace that is ours to experience has been cast aside by us. Not by Satan, by us. Because we have loved the world. We have not lived a life according to Holy Scriptures. Because if we have, the peace is ours to experience every moment of every day. Because the Lord is with us all. That's how you can have this peace. He never leaves you. Anywhere, everywhere, whatever the circumstance, the Lord is there for you. But do you know this Lord? Do you know this Lord well? Why don't you want to know Him well? Because the more you know Him, the easier it is you can trust Him. The easier it is for you to understand the richness of the promise of the Lord. The Lord is with you all. He will never leave us comfortless. He will never, never allow any one of us to go through this life on earth alone. You think God does not know how dangerous this world is? He mentioned to us the man of sin, the son of perdition. And He still allows us to remain on this earth after we are born again. We are His children. You and I as parents, we know how to protect our children. We know how to give the best to our children, right? We give them an environment that we assume is best for them, as safe for them as possible, as secure for them as possible. Until one day when they're old enough to fend for themselves, and then we thrust them out on their own, hoping that whatever has been instilled in them will be good enough. And then we'll give them all the tips that we possibly could recall and remember to guard them and to help them. Don't become a victim. That's what we do, right? That's what we do as parents. And you think our Heavenly Father doesn't know how to do that and do that better? Now, you and I cannot be with our children all the days of our lives. Our Heavenly Father can. He can and He has be with you all, everywhere you go. You are never alone. So why do you want to live your life as if you are alone? Why do you want to live your life as if God is absent? That's why we do not have peace. That's why we find it so hard to just lie down and sleep. In spite of all the many, many problems and trials and difficulties, God is in sovereign control. And that immediately gives us the right perspective of the most difficult problems that we have. And sometimes we have multiple problems. Multiple problems. So sometimes you just sit down, you look, how I wish to be a student again, you know. Student only problem is exam. That's it. And exams only affect your life. But as you mature, as you grow, when you become an adult, your problems does not affect only your life, but the lives of everyone in your care. The lives of so many people that God has entrusted to you to look after. You know, sometimes as pastor, people from other churches, they call you up and ask you for advice and for help. You try your best to mind your own business, to just look after Calvary Pandan because you have been put here as pastor, as the shepherd of the flock. And one day you have to answer to the Lord for everyone who comes to Calvary Pandan, how they have been ministered to, how they have been fed and watched over, how they have been protected, and help them to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you give every ounce and to your best of your ability with God's help. But then when other churches come and ask for help, and you can't but help as well. And so their problems now become your problems. And then one, and then two, and then three, and then four. And then sometimes all these additional problems come along, and then with all these, of course, you have to bear the brunt of the attacks, the insults, the name-calling, and all kinds of expletives will be hurled at you. And you read them, you hear them, and you just have to simply accept them as part of the whole package. And you serve the Lord, you've got to be prepared for people to call you all kinds of names. And you know how untruthful it is, but you make sure you check your own heart. Is it true? Am I really like this? Lord, if I am, please forgive me. If not, you just move on. And bear more and more of this, because it's not going to stop. Sometimes you wish they would stop, and then sometimes you get affected. And then the moment you recall, God is sovereign. God knows what I'm going through even before I was born. And so God has now allowed these problems and these trials to come at this juncture, at this point of my life. And I know that as my Heavenly Father, He has promised me in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He will not allow any of His children to be tempted above that which they are able to bear. And with every temptation, He will make a way of escape. And so that we will be able to bear up under the load that He has given to us. Now that is His guarantee, that is His promise. And very often when we do not hold and cling on to His promise, we allow the Lord to crush us. And that's when we stumble and we fall into sin. We murmur, we complain, and then we don't trust Him. But the more you know Him, the easier it is for you to trust Him, and the more the peace can be in your heart. Don't you want this peace? The world longs for this peace. And God says, only my children can have this peace. Only my children will be given this peace. Don't you want this? But it must be on God's terms, not on your terms. It has to be on God's terms. And God's terms is holiness. You've got to deal with your sin. You've got to live every aspect of your lives in light of God's holy word. Every area of life that God has given to you, live according to God's holy word. And the peace will be yours. Wherever you go, and whenever you have stumbled and fallen into sin, you repent immediately. You cry and ask God to give you the strength not to sin that sin again. And you cry to Him truly from your heart. And every day you wake up, you pray, Lord, this is a new day of battle. Please help me. You know my weakness. You know I'm struggling with this sin. Please help me through this day so that I will not fall into this sin. The sins are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All of us are struggling with either one of these three or two of these three, and worst case scenario will be all three. That's the worst case scenario. Some of us have no problem with humility. Some of us have no problem with not loving the world, but some of us have problem with the lust of the flesh. Some of us have no problem with lust of the flesh, but it could be the pride of life. Pray and ask the Lord to grant you the strength. He wants to give us the peace. The problem is not God's failure or lack of desire to give us the peace. It's our availability to receive that peace. He can't give us the peace when we are in sin, because that would mean that He's encouraging me to sin some more, isn't it? So he has to discipline us, chastise us, as he promised us in Hebrews 11. If you are wayward, I have to chastise you because I love you. And once you come back to me, our relationship and our fellowship has been restored. Now, peace is yours. And this life of peace will be yours. And Paul tells us, I'm very sincere. I'm not trying to deceive you. This epistle that I'm writing to you, I wrote with my own hand, the salutation of Paul, with my own hand, to tell you that I am telling you the truth. And I'm writing to you from the bottom of my heart with all sincerity that I really want you to have peace. I know the words, Paul says, could be very strong to tell you about the son of perdition and the man of sin and how this world will be owned by him and how people will deceive and believe and be deceived and turn the truth and believe a lie. Strong delusion will come. And in spite of all these, Paul says, I really want peace for you. But I have to tell you the truth about this world of ours that God has revealed to him pertaining to the future of our world. It's going to turn rotten. It's going to be owned by the evil one. All your bank accounts that you are now guarding so well, everything that you own, even your house, your bank account, your credit cards, all these will one day be owned by the evil one. Please understand this. God will give him the permission to own this earth. Remember, your Heavenly Father is still overarching in control. That's why God knew all these things even before the man of sin was born. This was recorded 2,000 years ago, nearly. See, that's a simple evidence that God, our Heavenly Father, is in control. You see, he revealed this man of sin to us 2,000 years ago. That means this man wasn't even born yet. God is in control. God knows he is coming. And God allows him. That's why God did not stop him. God allowed him to own this earth for 7 years before the Lord will return. And then the Lord will punish. And that is why this is for his children, God's children. So that you and I will live this life in light of what our Heavenly Father will do and allow this evil man to do in the future. So that you and I will not be duped. So that you and I will not waste our life in pursuing things that will perish, that will belong to the Antichrist one day, but to serve him faithfully so that all our good works will accompany us when it is time for us to leave this world of service. Because that's exactly what this world is. It is a world of service. It is not a gold mine. This world is not a gold mine. Every time you look at your dollar, every time you look at a piece of paper which the world calls money, it is useless. Please understand this. It is useless. Use it, therefore, to enhance your life for Jesus' sake. Don't hoard it. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to be more effective in service. Use it to help you be a better Christian. Use it to help others be a better Christian. Use it wisely. That's what it is good for. Don't become a slave to it. Accumulating, accumulating, accumulating. Very soon, without you realizing it, you have just allowed mammon to be your master and you have been the slave of mammon for so many years of your life because you have been slaving and slaving and all you do is to accumulate this mammon, which at the end of your life you will know that it is worthless. Because your life as a Christian, your walk with Christ has not been better since 10 years ago or more when you first accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And now 20, 30 years down the road, you are now in your evening years. What have you got to show? Zero. As far as spiritual fruits, as far as spiritual gain, zero. What a wasted life. Don't you agree? Sure, you have a lot of dollars and cents. You may even find your name in Forbes book of don't know how many billionaires in Singapore now, right? Correct? So your name is on the list. So what? You think all this is good? What you want is your name in the book of life, not Forbes book of money. Isn't that true? Forbes' book of money is useless. It will be burned out like the rest of the books of men. Paul says, I wrote this with my hand. I am not deceiving you. I am very sincere in what I am writing. I want the best for you. That's why he pleaded and he prayed. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means and the Lord be with all of you. I can't, but the Lord can. The Lord be with all of you. He wants the best for them. Obey his word. Obey the word of everlasting life. That's how the Apostle Paul wished peace for all of us. And that's what we want for all of you too. The peace from God's perspective and from the Bible's point of view. Don't live a disobedient Christian life, because the harm and the damage you do to yourself and to the people closest to you by your bad testimony will have eternal consequences. Please, stop right now. Turn your life around. God wants you to have this peace, which you cannot buy and cannot get from this world. Only He could give you. And Paul says, I'm writing with my own hands to tell you the truth. You want Paul to change? To say, it's okay, never mind, the man of sin will not appear. This world will get better and better. Get all the world you want, get as much as you want. You want that? You want that message of deception and lie? Paul says, I tell you the truth. Obey the truth. I want you to realize and understand how wonderful your life is on this earth. Simply because, number one, your years on earth is limited. Because all of us is not meant to exist on this earth for eternity. This body will not last. It's not meant to last. Second, this world is our world of service. Don't ever forget that. It's a time where you witness and testify for the Lord Jesus Christ at home, in school. That is what you must do when you go out to work after school, when you are still in school studying. That's what you are supposed to be as a student. Be a testimony. That's all. So follow biblical guidelines and criteria. And may the joy of the Lord be your strength and portion as you serve Him. Don't see your work as a place where you get money. It's not. The Lord has taught us, please remember this, okay? It's all in the Bible. Just in case you forget, please, let me remind you. All of us have only two kinds of possessions, all right? Only two kinds. That's what Jesus taught us. Only two kinds of possessions on planet Earth. Number one, the possessions you already have right now, at this point of your life. The guideline for that, serve only God and don't serve mammon. You have them, right? Don't serve mammon, serve only God. The other kind of possession is the possessions that you do not have now, you seek after, right? So what you already have, you serve God, not mammon. Matthew 6. What you want to seek after, what you do not have, Jesus also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So therefore, on no grounds must you ever seek after material things. So now, when you wake up tomorrow, you go to work, what do you do? Don't let mammon, what you already have, be your master. You hate mammon, you love God. You cannot hate, you cannot love both. God will not accept. And then what you want to seek after, you seek only Christ and His righteousness. And whatever God wants you to have that will help you strengthen your faith, He will give it to you. He will not give you so much that cause your faith to shrink and die. He will give you just enough whereby your faith will be strengthened. That's why you must keep the Sabbath day holy. You want to go out and work on the Sabbath day because you think that God has not given you enough, you're going to collapse. You're going to be wayward and your faith will be shattered. Because you have become greedy. You are not contented. You don't trust God to give you all that you need from Monday to Saturday. You have to break the Sabbath day, which God says it is mine. And you now have sinned against God because you think that you want more than what God has really blessed you with from Monday to Saturday. And then now you want peace. How can God give you peace? God cannot give you peace when you are in sin. That is not the God of the Bible. Because He will never encourage any of His children to sin. Paul is very sincere. I wrote this with my own hands. And then finally the basis, it's God's grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. What is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? His salvation. You're going to heaven. That's why Jesus says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Death means you stop breathing and you end up in hell. We will never die means you will stop breathing, we are going to heaven. That is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Think of heaven. Think of your presence with God Almighty one day in the clouds of glory. Don't lose sight of this perspective and this truth. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the mercy. Mercy means sparing us from hell. Grace means all the wonderful blessings that we have that we don't deserve, that Jesus Christ has attained for us when He died for us on the cross of Calvary. Heaven is one thing. And then the present life that we have that is full of grace, that is Jesus called the abundant life, it's also ours. Why are we not experiencing it? That's why this peace has not been experienced by us often enough. We had this peace when we first accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. True? Suddenly all the burdens were lifted. Now what happened to that peace? That peace should be deeper now, should be stronger now, should be even more real to you than the first day when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And very often we realize that that is because of our first love has grown cold. And that's why we do not walk aright. And when you don't walk aright, the peace is gone. And no matter what you do, no matter how you try, if it is not in accordance to God's word, you will not have peace. Please don't come to church because you want to soothe your conscience. You come to church because you love the Lord, because you are a Christian. You want to worship with God's people because the Lord is near you. The Lord has been with you all these past few days. That's why you come. You want to begin this new week aright with the Lord. The right reason, you have calmness of soul, you have peace in your heart. You come for the wrong reason, a hidden agenda, a carnal desire, how to have peace. You go out into the work, and all you do is to get money, 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 promotion, promotion, like the rest of the world, how to have peace. And at home, husband doesn't love the wives as Christ loved the church, wife doesn't submit to the husband, how to have peace. Children do not honor parents, children disobey parents, how to have peace. How to have peace in the church when people do not help one another, when people do not have the mind of Christ, when people do not esteem others better than themselves, people esteem themselves better than others. How to have peace? You follow the Bible, the Word of God. God says, the peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world doesn't know this peace. This peace is already ours because you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You are no longer an enemy of God. You are now a child of God. You already have peace. Now the next step is experience it right now on this earth. It is yours to experience. Pray. Come right with God and ask the Lord, Lord, I want this peace. Give me this peace. Help me to commit my life to you. Show me how I can have this peace from now until the day when I see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, give us this peace, O Lord, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, that the world cannot give, but the Lord of peace Himself is able to give and long to give to all His children. For the Lord has promised us that He will never leave us comfortless, that He will be with all of us all the days of our lives. We thank Thee, Father, for salvation so rich and so free that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. Help us to live a life of holiness. Help us to have this strong desire to know Thee through the study of Thy holy word. May we never, never forget how wonderful it is to be called children of the Most High God. Help us, therefore, to live a life of holiness in all areas of our lives, that this peace will be ours to experience, that even when this world one day will be owned by Satan, the evil one, and the Antichrist, that must never affect us, for we have this peace that is from Thee and Thee alone, that is able to see us through the most difficult trial that we have to encounter on this earth. Give to your children this peace for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.